Hey everybody, it's Corey Brindley, the host of Wait Wait, Don't Run Me. I just wanted to say thank you to the community for Netrunner. Just really say how much we enjoy being a part of the community and love interacting with you guys whenever we go out to tournaments. Want to also say we have a special episode for you this time. We have Ty Volpo, the Briar Fox, as well as Dan D'Argenio, you might know him as Mediocre, and also our great contestant Daniel DeBoer come together for a great episode about the first three data packs of the Genesis cycle. So I've handpicked some Genesis music to go along with our experience. I hope you guys enjoy, and thanks again for listening to Wait Wait, Don't Run Me. Welcome to Wait Wait, Don't Run Me. My name is Corwin Brindley. I am the host of the show. With me, as always, Ross Prather. How are you doing tonight, Ross?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Wow, not a sub or an alternate greeting tonight? You feeling lively?
I'm doing just fine.
Excellent. Well, tonight we have a great panel. We're going to start with one of our favorites, one of our previous contestants, Daniel DeBoer. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing great. It's going to be a very relaxing weekend.
Yeah, well, you'll start with a relaxing game of Wait, Wait, Don't Run Me. How do you feel?
Well, you know, it'll be a high-stakes game, so I'll cool down after.
Right on. So tell me, remind me where you're from.
Oh, right. I'm in Minneapolis, so FFG's backyard, which will make Worlds nice and easy. And I game at Tower Games still, but I've joined a Thursday group at Mead Hall, which is another local place, and they've got quite a large following now.
Do they booze there?
No, not when I play. They might on Sunday, which is apparently another Netrunner night they do, so I'm going to do that Sunday.
Wow. Wow, pretty awesome. So what two decks are you running right now?
Right now, I am working on a Arena Runner deck after I piloted it very poorly. I tried the Anatomy of Anarch at Regionals, and I decided I didn't like it, but I liked Reyna, so I was going to make it without account siphons. And then I'm also running a Near-Earth Hub dedicated response team, which might only be winning because it's NBN and Astros and Near-Earth Hub, but I like it.
Yeah, I made a similar observation when I was trying to do like some weird net damage NBN. And I was winning, and it wasn't because I had net damage, because I was just an NBN, you know? You're like, oh, I got a Sand City Grid. I'm just going to win this game.
Yeah.
Pretty easy peasy. Well, cool. Always great to have you, Daniel. Moving on, we have Dan D'Argenio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
So, people at home, you might know Dan as Mediocre. He's a StimHack writer, as well as he does some streams for StimHack. I know I've had the chance to play against him on Octagon, and he's quite the competitor. So nice to have you on, Dan.
Thank you.
Awesome. So tell me about where you're from.
All right, so I'm from Philadelphia, which is a great city for Netrunner. We're way better than Baltimore and New York, and which we proved in the recent regionals where we just crushed everybody because we're so good.
Yeah, so tell me about what decks you played at the regionals, because I know that you ended up taking and winning that tournament. So tell me about it.
All right, so I took Andy with Parasites, which is just, I don't know, it seems like a lot of like really good players all at the same time decided to put Parasites in Andy, and it's really good. Like, you know, stuff like Inazuma and Tsurugi, Kamainu, all that stuff that like the Jinteki stuff that got, you know, sort of popular after that. Like, Parasite's really good against all that. It's just really good in general, so put Parasites in Andy, easy enough. And Security Testing, of course, card is just busted. and then we played, or I played RP Jinteki, the Glacier build, which is just a really depressing deck to play against. It, I mean, it just, it's really good at, you know, just shutting the runner out, making everything really expensive, and then, you know, after you get past all the ice, you still got to deal with Caprice. So we took, me and some people from Philly took that deck and did pretty great with it. So, but now that regionals is over, I'm having fun and playing. Like, I've been trying to get some noise to work. I saw some people won some tournaments with noise, and I thought I'd give noise a go. I never really did before. And then I'm playing like some Jinteki PE and like some really obnoxious cerebral imaging combo decks.
Yeah, I mean, I think noise definitely still has a place in the meta. I think, mass install, I think really takes the place for me of personal workshop that you're paying for influence for, you know, so you can still just install shit piles of viruses, make those glory runs and apply pressure without having to deviate too far from your normal strategy. I mean, I think it's totally viable.
So I'm doing something a little different than like the old noise style. Like, my only viruses are Imp, Medium, Parasite, and Data Sucker. Oh, and I guess Crypsis. I am doing the Crypsis Knight thing, but for my breakers. But like, really, the main idea is that I'm splashing 3 clone chips, and you just want to play as many parasites as possible, which is like what you want to do in half the competitive decks now, anyway.
Right.
You just get free discards off of it. So I mean, it's pretty reasonable. I've been having fun with it and winning some.
Well, true that. Well, all right. Well, it's nice to have you on, Dan. Hopefully, I'll catch you at Worlds. We'll have to see how that goes, man. All right. Well, moving on to our last contestant. Ty Volpo. Ty, how are you doing today?
Lovely night, sir. Lovely night.
Excellent. So tell me about where you're from.
From West Michigan, Grand Rapids area. If you were to look at the back of your left hand, I'm about 2 fingers down from your third knuckle.
First of all, wait, what?
No, our state's shaped like a hand, specifically the back of your left hand.
Okay.
Approximately 2 fingers down below the left knuckle.
Okay, cool. Wow, okay, so everyone's looking at their hand now. Time to come on back. Oh, shit. So, tell me about what decks you're running right now.
I am still championing Super Modernism, Rendell specifically. I love the challenge that it brings, and I love how much it leans on your ability to bluff and your ability to just really hate your opponent. And currently I've been running more of a PvP-oriented Andy, but I think I'm going to switch that off and get back to my Shaper roots. Maybe a String Theory or Exile, depending on how left field I want to be.
What's String Theory? What does that mean?
It's a new chaos theory.
Yeah, well, basically something where you stack up rabbit holes, really thin out your deck, cycle yourself a whole bunch of times with Levy and go to town.
Well, all right. I mean, anytime you're cycling your deck, I'm interested. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, you stock up quality times, you stock up diesels, you just dig for what you need, and when you get back to the bottom, you hit a levy, and you start the process all over again. Windmill slam account siphons, and that's pretty much all she wrote.
Windmill slam account siphons.
Yep.
I feel like there's a pornographic term we should use.
Well, you know, it's hard to recover when, you know, account siphon. I mean, yeah, you're carrying tags, but you gotta have credits to do something.
Right, exactly. Like, you can click for 3 to scorch me once.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe. I've never been on that end of that.
And then with the advent of paper tripping and, you know, other usually terrible cards, it's easy enough to dump tags here and there these days. So, I mean, yeah, it's a bit risky, but it's calculated risk.
True story. Well, all right, Ty. Well, it's great to have you on. We're going to go ahead and get started with our first game. And this is a new game for people at home, so it's called Name That Card. So we're actually going to ask the contestant to name a card from a data pack. If they're right, they get 5 points. If they're not right, we're going to narrow down our field a bit by giving them a side, so either Corp or Runner. After that, we'll give them a faction, followed by the type of card, and then the cost of the card. If they're able to get it, each clue decreases the point value by 1. And if they're able to get it by the end, we'll award them a number of points equal to when they've guessed it. So, we're going to start with Daniel. Daniel, are you ready to name that card?
I'm ready to guess a whole lot.
That's the spirit. What lies ahead?
Mandatory upgrades.
Corp.
restructured data pool.
Gentechi.
Ugh. I think it was Fetal AI in that pack.
No, it's Agenda.
What? Oh, shh. Oh, was it Brain Trust?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Good job. 2 points.
2 points.
Yeah, you can't forget about Brain Trust. So,
get there.
Get there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta sprint to the finish. We'll rock and roll. All right, you ready for your next one?
All right, sure.
Okay.
Cyber Exodus.
Shoot. Is pop-up window in that pack? Guessing pop-up window.
Runner.
Ugh, wrong side. I think Chaos Theory was in that pack.
Shaper.
Dinosaurus.
Resource.
Resource. Shoot. Wait. When was All-Nighter? All-Nighter.
One cost.
Shaper resource one. Oh, was it Personal Workshop?
Correct.
Yeah, worth 1 point there. You managed to pull that one out.
All right.
Ooh.
Tailspin.
Yeah, this is a little more challenging than I thought originally. I guess when you're making the questions, it's not really, can't really tell.
I like seeing Personal Workshop making a comeback with Nasir. I kind of missed it in the meta.
Oh, Nasir, it seems like such a fun deck. Have any of you guys had a chance to mess around with Nasir at all?
Tons.
I was going to say, please go ahead. I've only played it once.
Oh, I played a good... Well, you know, we try to make it work after regionals. It's like, it's actually a ton of fun to play, and it's very difficult. Like, you're playing, like, a totally different game, really. It has, like, a lot... I think it has, like, unfixable troubles with certain things, but it's fun, and, you know, in, like, a casual setting, you can definitely work with it. It's just, like, you know, there are certain things, like NAPD contracts is such an unbelievable nightmare. Like you just have like one piece of unres dice in front of an NAPD contract, you just advance it, it's just like instantly scored.
Yeah, well, good point. But I mean, I think the ability to dump all your money, especially with Personal Workshop. Now, of course, is it going to live through a competitive game when you're seeing a lot of breaking news? Probably not. But I mean, it's good to think, you know, you just make huge breakers, make huge investments, because it's not real money anyway. You're going to lose it. Just money dump.
You build quite a rig with Nasir. It's like toolbox, triple cyber feeder, all your Atmen, and like all the RDIs, and that's your, and you have it all. You can do everything for free. It's sweet.
Yeah, totes. Well, all right. Well, Daniel, are you ready? I think we have one more Name That Card for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready to be done with this one. This is hard.
All right, here you go.
Trace Amount.
I think Caduceus is in that one.
Corp.
Well, if I was right, it's the right side. Shoot. It was Ouroboros?
HB.
Oh, no. Rur Valley.
Ice.
Viper.
Six cost.
That's too high. Shoot, what was an HP for six?
That was an evil laugh from me. I hope you're ready.
It's not Hourglass. That's five. Sherlock 1.0.
Sherlock 1.0 is correct. I'm surprised you didn't get that, because that is the single most popular ice in the game.
How did I miss?
It's a difficult one to deduce.
Yeah, sometimes you see people who are buying two copies of Trace Amounts because they need to get enough Sherlocks for all their decks.
Yeah, you put them in so many.
All right, okay. Well, Daniel, after that round, it looks like you raked in
4 points.
4 points.
I feel like that's respectable.
I feel like, yeah, this might be a low-scoring round.
I feel
but
like
that's
four might be the average.
Someone might hit the bullseye blindfolded. We'll see. All right, so Dan, we're actually going to move on to you for the next set of Name That Card. Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, here you go.
Cyber Exodus.
Pop-up window.
Corp.
Breaking news.
Neutral.
Oh boy, I better just guess something. Plascree Carapace?
Asset.
Oh, shoot. Corp. Usual corp at, oh boy. Private contracts?
Correct.
Nice. Nicely done.
Oh, I didn't even know if that was in the core set or not.
Well, no, we're doing the first three of the Genesis cycle.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't know what set that's from.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
not any neutral corp assets.
No, that's true. That is true.
Levy universe, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Whatever, everyone's got Levy. God.
They will when Foundry comes out. What? Why not?
Whatever. First of all, I don't like to discuss future cards, but we're going to do it anyway, because I don't know. Who knows what the Foundry is supposed to be doing, and I don't
By
think...
future cards, you mean Tuesday.
Is it really that quick?
Yeah.
Supposedly, yeah.
Next Grail deck, of course.
Yeah, well, Next is, I mean, you know, Next seems to be developing nicely, and I mean, I liked it just when it was the Code Gates, so I mean, I think it's cool that they...
It's nice that you can get them above Yogg now.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do, and it gives a lot of subroutines to your weak strength barriers.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I think that the problem in my eyes is when they released gold or whatever, they released the three next dice, then all of a sudden these things are scaled so far out of control because you potentially have like 10 subroutines on that barrier. Like,
I think people will, or I think they will make it unique if they make a third one, just so that you get a max of, it'll be like 8 with Mother Goddess out there.
Yeah.
I think it'll just be bad.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering how they're going to have to scale Runner Economy, because, I mean, it kind of seems like these Glacier decks are starting to make a huge resurgence because Corp have more options and more money. They can make the big ice. They can make these costly runs for the Runner.
Two words. Liberated accounts.
So slow. It's just so slow.
It is a criminally underplayed card because of how Anarch works right now, but I think Lucky Find actually makes it a lot better. Liberated Accounts.
Yeah,
but Corp gets fast tracked for no influence, and you're paying two for each Lucky Find. You know, like, you're like, well, they're cruising.
Alright.
I think if you started at 6 credits, Lucky Find would be a fantastic card, but I don't have that on click one. And
wait, Lucky... Oh, you mean...
Liberated accounts?
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, liberated accounts.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of, you know, having the money anyway, which Anarch has a problem with, but, you know, eventually there's going to be a critical mass of economy for them that's going to make liberated accounts definitely worth playing.
Yeah, but it seems like all the economy, they're, like, was Queen's Gambit, you know, you're like, oh, okay, I can put advancement counters on unrezzed things and get a small amount of money, and it's a double event. And it's putting advancement counters on cards you don't even know what they are.
It like, costs you as much money as a Lucky Find.
Six? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Click, and I'd rather waste influence over a click any day of the week.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying I run it. I have 3 Lucky Finds in my arena. But...
Yeah, I think Lucky Find's pretty sexy in Anarch. I think it's definitely a good choice.
It's definitely preferable, I think, to have Anarchs and Shapers splashing a lot of Lucky Finds rather than just everybody playing accounts like them.
True story. All right, well, Dan, you've been dodging this bullet for a minute here. You ready for your next one?
I am.
All right, here we go.
Trace Amount.
Pop-up window.
Runner.
We haven't had any IDs yet. None of the Shaper IDs came out then. Andromeda?
Shaper.
How about Quality Time?
Program.
Atman?
4 cost.
Shaper 4 cost program. There's not too many of those. Let's see. Well, I guess it could be an icebreaker that I don't know about. Gordian Blade didn't come out in that set. Well, I can't think of any icebreakers that cost four. I can't think of any programs that aren't icebreakers that cost four. And I think I'm pretty much screwed on this one. So I'm just gonna pass. I don't want to waste any more time. I don't know.
Snowball.
It was an icebreaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, you got to roll it up and make it big, guys. Don't forget about Snowball, because it's an infection barrier breaker that isn't terrible.
Just don't put it in your Nazir deck. It's a mistake.
Oh, you roll it up big? No, you can't. You really can't. That's not how it works. That's not how the timing works. All right. You ready for your last one?
Yep.
What lies ahead?
Andromeda.
Runner.
Emergency shutdown.
Anarch.
Medium.
Hardware.
Cyberfeeder.
Four cost.
Oh shit, Cyberfeeder's in the core set, isn't it? Four cost, Anarch hardware. Grimoire doesn't cost four. That's also in the core set. Let's see here. Come on. Nobody plays this card, right? Alright, I don't know.
Spinal Modem.
Oh, it was a console.
But people play that card.
Yeah, know, people I should play it.
I played that card.
People should play that card. Dude, traces are not scary. Just don't play it before you have a Sentry Breaker. Like,
the problem I find with that card is that, like, when you're playing with Anarch, you're like, it's not the breakers that you're like worried about spending all this money on. It's that you don't have any money to like trash stuff or something. And like, you know, you're breaking things with Yogg for free, or you parasited the rice to death, and you're like, what do I even need these credits for?
Yeah, but it's only two influence.
Yeah, that's no. Oh, you want to splash it?
I mean, potentially, yeah.
Well, it's one. It's only one less than Desperado, and that card is just completely ridiculous.
That's true. Okay, comparatively, I would agree with you.
All right.
Boo! Boo your logic. Your logic is bad.
You don't want to listen to me. If you listen to me, you'll never play any cards.
You know what's really bad? Not playing Monolith. Yeah,
we're all fools for that one.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I had a blast playing with it. And you play any three programs and it's worth it. And all of a sudden you're in a great board position. You just have three programs in your hand. You're like, okay.
The key is brain damage prevention, which I'm going to really need a lot of in the coming days with everybody playing Cerebral Overwrite or Jinteki stuff.
Is that really a concern that you have?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it when they Mushin. You have to expose it. If they Mushin something, and then it's like either a Ronin, and you're dead if you don't run it, or it's an Overwriter, and you're dead if you do run it. It's a very difficult situation to deal with.
No, I mean, you just run it, and you die. Because you're a man.
YOLO!
No, I mean, maybe, you know, if you want to adapt to the meta, I'd say running Expose is not a bad idea. I mean, there's definitely a reason to put two in a deck, and then hold it for when you need it.
Or in any deck with same old thing, you don't even need to hold it.
That's true. Yeah, you just dump it and wait.
Yep.
So, I mean, I see playing Expose over that, but I mean, really, Infiltration would be that Expose. And if you're playing against something that's not Jinteki, at least you can gain two credits from it if you're ever lagging in economy.
Built-in refund.
Clearly, you should be running Raymond Flint to get that bad pub value.
Dude, I wish.
I love him in my Sterling deck. He's another connection. He can expose if I need him.
Yeah.
Does work.
Occasionally you use Raymond Flint's ability and feel like a complete champion.
Yeah. Sometimes I get A access one game, and then I'll play like a Grendel player and get all of them.
Oh, rock and roll. All right, Dan, let's see how you did in that round.
Two points. Yeah, 2 points.
Rats. All right.
Yeah, 2 points that round. Sorry, but you did a good job. These are difficult. Like I said, I did not realize. We're going to see some a little less difficult stuff moving forward. maybe. All right, Ty, we're going to move on to your set of questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it. Cyber Exodus.
Barbera?
Runner.
Scavenge.
Criminal.
Maresh bodysuit?
Yes. That's 3 points.
Nicely
Are
done.
Are you kidding me? No way.
Now that's it. Maresh bodysuit. Good job. That was, looks like that was worth 3 points.
Best card in the game.
That card.
Everyone. You know what it's good against? Punitive Counter-Strike. No, I don't know. I don't even think it's good against that. Well, congratulations on that, on that swing, home run.
Yay.
Are you ready for your next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
What lies ahead?
Foxfire.
Corp.
Replicating Perfection.
Oh. Wayland.
Project Atlas?
Ice.
Viper.
3 cost.
Caduceus.
Caduceus. Correct.
Ah.
For 1 point.
At least had a girl here.
Sorry, Corey saw a spider.
I saw a spider, guys. I saw a spider, guys.
Oh, it's coming! It's coming near me.
No, it's running towards me very slowly because it's tiny. But I'm a bitch. I think is what the problem is.
Does it have a little blue box playing St. Elmo's Fire?
it does not.
We have one more.
One more time. Are you ready for your last one?
Let's do it.
All right, rock and roll.
Cyber Exodus.
Zool Keymaster.
Corp.
Since it seems to be the fancy thing, pop-up window.
Correct.
What?
4 points.
You guys set him up. You guys set him up. I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, he's just going to guess it randomly. Oh, no.
Wow.
Well.
So that is 8 points.
Eight.
For dying.
Okay. It's on the picture of the box. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, after the game lets out, we're going to be beating you up, Ty.
That's okay.
That's how this works.
I'll be trying to quietly sneak out the back door.
Lord.
I don't know. Hey, you guys are the ones that are guessing the answers before I had to.
It's true. You guys...
You inspired me.
All right, so let's get a recap of the scores after the first round, Ross.
Ty is in the lead with 8 points. Daniel is in second with 4 points, and Dan is at the bottom with 2 points.
All right, well, I still say it's anyone's game because we still have the lightning round to go. But we're going to move on next to Flavor Finder. Okay, and the point of this game, guys, is we're going to provide you with a flavor text. You're going to have to guess it. If you are able to name the card from which the flavor text comes, you get 3 points. If you miss it, don't worry, we'll give you a choice of 3. If you select the correct answer from the 3, we'll give you 1 point. We're going to start with Dan this round. Are you ready, Dan, for your first flavor finder?
Yes.
Sometimes employee reviews took a little bit longer than anticipated.
Wait a second. I think I know what this card is. Well, I need to remember what it's called. is the sixth advanced agenda called mandatory upgrades?
That is correct.
Wow, nicely done.
Hey.
I've read that card before.
Hey,
have you actually managed to score it?
Yes, actually, I have.
There you go. And a scholar.
I did do it one time. I played a next design deck that was like based around Efficiency Committee Shimmer from Sansan, and it had one mandatory upgrades like in case you didn't draw the Efficiency Committee, and I did score it one time. It was really fun. I got really excited when I learned I got the click on the turn that I scored it, and I was like, yeah, take a credit. What's up?
Best move, obviously. Yeah. If you guys remember the Upgrade Incorporated or Up Inc. Deck that was floating around was trying to score mandatory upgrades, and I really like that deck, so occasionally you score it and you just win. Sure, I got four clicks a turn. It's completely unprecedented.
Chris Hinkes, I'm not sure how to pronounce German things, but the guy who won Cambridge Regionals, when he came to Philly, he came with a Mushin Notion mandatory upgrades deck with tons of traps in it. And that was, I heard great stories about it. I know I didn't get to see him play.
Well, I mean, you don't need to run on the mandatory upgrades originally, so hopefully he wastes the Mushin Notions. I don't really know. That seems intense.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, he did really well with the Mushin Notions in the Cambridge Regionals. He won.
Wow. Well, rock and roll. Well, all right. Congratulations on that first one. We're going to move on to the second Flavor Finder. Are you prepared?
Yes.
We're going to need a bigger room.
We are? A bigger room. That means that it's got to be something big, right? How about Monolith?
No. Your multiple choices are Restructured Data Pool, TMI, and Test Run.
Well, Test Run's got a lot of text on it. Maybe there's no room for flavor text. We're going to need a bigger room. Restructured Data Pool. Maybe it's a big room. Let's go with that. Restructured Data Pool.
Correct.
That is correct. Way to deduce using logic.
I like that, yeah. Test Run does have way too many words.
I'm going to say it just because that was a good shout out. Honestly, Test Run has no flavor text. So
there you go.
Yeah, it was a good choice. All right.
Too many syllables. Apologize.
All right. So are you ready for your final Flavor Finder?
Bring it.
My enhancements are guaranteed for life and well worth the risk.
Enhancements are guaranteed the price and well worth the risk, huh? Well, maybe it's a guy. Maybe it's some sort of guy. Like, Who's a guy that gives you those sort of things? Maybe it's Joshua B.
Correct.
Wow!
Are you like a detective in your private life?
No, I'm just better at the things that aren't guessing.
Oh, Dan, we appreciate that. Wow, I'm blown away by how well you did. It was really, really well done. Absolutely. So let's hear, how many points did you get on that round?
That was 7 points in that round for a total of 9 points.
Moving on up. Moving on up, sir. Rock and roll. All right, Ty. It's time to step up. Defend your points.
Alrighty.
We have three Flavor Finders prepped and ready for you. Are you ready?
You haven't run until you've seen the cyber sun drift down behind the great city, the space around you rippling with colors you can't imagine. Kate Mac McCaffrey.
I'm going to go ahead and say Sunset?
Correct.
That is correct for 3 points.
That needs to be a playmat in a bad way.
Mm. Yeah, the art is the best part of that card, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, all right. Well, good job on that one. We're going to move on to the second Flavor Finder. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
The Division of Fringe Applications revenue increased 37% year over year after corporate discovered that most of their projects made really fun toys.
I'm gonna swing the obvious answer that I know is wrong. Jackson Howard?
No.
Well, actually, then it's gonna be commercialization.
What?
I'm going to give you the points for multiple choice on that one.
Feel free.
Because you did guess before it.
What?
But yes, that's correct.
How did you know but not know? Let's talk about this. I feel like I'm being...
Jackson Howard was not Genesis Cycle, right?
Right.
Genesis, yeah.
No, he wasn't. But, you know, he's kind of, I don't know, he had the toys on the desk and stuff with the things and the stuff.
He's got a lot of words on his card, too.
He does have a lot of words on his card. I don't know. I don't play NBN.
You don't need to.
I play Grendel. What do I need Jackson for?
He's got one influence.
Fair enough.
He's one influence, man. You just shit him in anywhere you want. You're like, whatever.
His flavor waste text. Waste 3 credits. Knock yourself out. Go for it.
His flavor text is also something about edutainment.
Yeah, something like that.
It's he does have flavor.
People at home, if you're listening and you want to play along in the future, we're going to have an answer that is edutainment.
Edutainment. It'll be Jackson Howard.
Then the answer will be Jackson
Howard.
Free points at home. Of course, you can submit your answers and take points at home. If you're at home and you want to take your own points, tell me about them. You can write us at waitwaitdrm@gmail.com. Tell us how many points you got. We will laugh.
We still have one to do.
We do still have one more to do. We're going to continue the game, Ross.
Yes. Let's finish the round, and then we'll tell you the points.
No. I'm going to keep pitching us. All right.
You should see the prizes we have for the show. I cannot believe Fantasy Flight Games sponsored us and is, you know, putting up a solid gold car. Yeah, it's not useful at all. But
I know the Gabe Mobile across the back.
Only if I can get the lead singer of Smash Mouth's face to be on the alt art for Gabe. Oh shit! Yeah, no. I want that to be my decal on my car.
All right. The hood, larger than life.
We have one more flavor finder for Ty. All right. Something wicked this way comes.
Inside Man.
No, your multiple choices are Imp, Nerve Agent, or Morningstar.
Gonna go ahead and guess Imp.
Correct.
Ah.
Good job on that one, Ty. Well, the commercialization one still has me a little stunned. What were we saying?
Isn't that the one where the kid's pointing at the thing and the mom's dragging her away and she's got that really Pokemon looking backpack?
No, that's the new NBN agenda, isn't it?
No, you're right. Well, isn't oh my goodness, we're describing art through words. It's not really the best medium.
Yeah, that'll be the negative.
Kid pointing at like a big
dinosaur, isn't it?
It's like a Gundam.
No, the one for commercialization is a whole row of TVs. It's a whole bunch of TVs.
You guys are spoiling our next category. Vaguely describe the art on the car. Guess it. It's worth 9 points.
There's color and some shapes and maybe a person.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So, Daniel, it's your turn to answer some flavor finders, if we can pull ourselves together. Are you ready for your first one?
I am.
Sometimes uniqueness is overrated. Nope. Multiple choices are Replicating Perfection, Snowflake, and Chimera.
Oh, Snowflake. Oh.
Correct.
Yes, that is correct. That was a tricky one.
Tricker.
Yeah. All right, you ready for your next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Running is the ultimate game, and I get to make all the rules.
Oh, that's got to be Wizard.
Correct.
That is yes. Wizard. Good job. To pull that out. So Wizard, I think, especially with Near Earth Hub, I think Wizard's going to see a lot more play, or should at least. Because, I mean, it's safe to say that Near Earth Hub is the best NBN identity. They're going to be playing some sort of horizontal play. So Economy, or even if it's Jackson, you know, they're going to be playing something that's trashable. Really?
Well, I think The World is Yours is still pretty strong for rush play.
I mean, you can draw the cards. You're drawing the cards. It's even better because you just make a server draw a card.
Well, the other thing to consider too is HB is going to see a lot more play with Foundry, with Highland Grid, and all the new toys that are coming out. And HB does like a horizontal economy as well.
True. I do know when I played New Earth Hub and someone just like they weren't playing Wizard, but they had an Imp out. It was just hell for me to try and get any economy going. So if they were a Wizard, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I've been tooling around with very light assets, and I'm still getting the card draw that I want out of it, and I can flex in the, event econ. So, you know, you have that supplemental, so if they are trying to trash your assets, but it's still bad. You know, you still need that drip to maintain, staying ahead of the runner. It's a Wizard. Wizard's coming up in a big way, I think.
You can also just use your influence to splash a whole lot of celebrity gifts or something. Like, you don't need to play horizontal with that ID. You have 17 influence and asterisk your power program.
That's true. So you're saying just blank box the...
You can just play Biotic Labor, Jackson Howard, and Sansan, and that ID is great still.
So yeah, every biotic labor you get a draw, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. Breaking news too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that is true. Wow.
Yeah. Still triggers like 5 or 6 times.
You're hurting my head, Dan.
It's so easy to abuse that ID. It really is.
Well, I mean, you're running 3 Sansan City grids, so each one of those can be its own server if it needs to be. I mean, potentially. So, I mean, that's... Yeah, and then 3 Jacksons. Yeah, could be huge. Anyways, all right, so moving on. Are you ready for your second one, Daniel?
I think this is my...
Or third one. Third one, yeah, sorry.
Yep.
It's easier to spend when it's not your money.
Bank job.
No, multiple choices are liberated accounts, pop-up window, or marked accounts.
Oh, it's liberated accounts. Yeah. I knew it was an account siphon.
Yep.
All
right. Yeah, liberated accounts. We were actually talking about this card earlier. And I mean, I can see where you guys are coming from. Definitely that.
Seeing a trend here.
Well, there's something I was going to say. There's only 60 cards in the first 3 packs, you know, 120 for the whole first cycle. I mean, and that's something that you would see in Magic, because we were talking about that before the show. You'd see that in one release every 3 months. So, you know, and we're still having a hard time quizzing on it. Imagine playing Magic. Imagine playing something where the card pool is, you know, 4 times as large. At any given time, you're like, oh, shit, I don't even know what to do. How could you possibly?
3/4 of the cards are 4 times as crappy, so you don't have to worry about memorizing this.
Well, the funny thing is with Magic is the crappier cards you remember more, because those are the ones that stay in the draft pack for the whole time.
Yeah, oh, it's this thing.
Have any of you guys had a chance to draft Netrunner yet in any real format?
I did the original draft once, and I remember there was a lot of tracing, but I didn't do well.
Anybody else have a chance?
We got a few, but Jim had. I didn't enjoy the FFG draft so much. I thought that, like, well, I didn't play the second one, but I thought the first one was, like, a little bit too Crypsis-based. Like, there was no reason to go anyway but Crypsis, really. You could do Darwin, too, but Crypsis is just too good compared to, like, a lot of the breakers that were in there. But we've got a cube on stibhack.com, and a cube is, like, it's sort of like a draft set that you build yourself, and you just deal random cards out of that. And we've, like, you know, we've just, like, taken all of the cards that, like, are just really low-powered out. So that way, when you draft the cube, you get a lot of difficult choices, and you end up with a pretty powerful deck. And that has actually been a lot of fun. We've got a lot of ways to do it. And Anthony Sneaky Slide just put up an article on StimHack a couple weeks ago, so you can read about that if you're interested.
Yeah, I did actually read that, because you know, playing in a cube, it was a lot of fun in Magic. I haven't had a chance yet in Netrunner, but I think it's definitely the format for it, because there's, you know, you have a better idea of what you need to make a deck, so you can set the cube up to be, I don't know, proportional to what you would need for it to make a functional deck, instead of trying to zombie cards together like in Magic, where you have card interactions that happen. So it was definitely a cool article. I do suggest anyone hop on StimHack and check that out. All right. Oh, you don't read.
That was well worth the read. No, that was an incredible article. It's a bit wall of texty, but I mean, seriously, make the effort to get through it. It's awesome.
Agreed. All right, we're going to move on to our last game. It's called Under the Influence. This time we're actually going to start with you, Ty. And before we move on, let's get a look at the points.
Totals right now, Ty is in the lead with a total of 13 points. Daniel and Dan are tied with 9 points.
Wow. Hey, you guys caught up considerably after name that card.
Yeah, we still got the lightning round. I don't feel that bad.
Exactly.
It's true. And hold on one second.
We've got to go get the inebriated part of the inebriation down.
I thought they were killing another spider.
I have to get under the influence. Yeah, dude, this house is just full of spiders, and I hate spiders. I hate them. Unless I don't see them. If I don't see them, they're fine. Live, eat, flies, or whatever. Don't mess with me. You mess with me, then I shoo you. Bad.
Anyway. Did you say you shoo them? Or
I shoo them. There is a shoe. Oh, yeah, I'm going to shoot a spider. What do you think, I'm insane?
Picks their little red wagon.
Have you ever seen one of those fly swatter guns?
No.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a little like spring-loaded gun that has like a fly swatter net on the end. It's like a plastic where you can shoot bugs.
Huh. Amazing. I should buy one.
I know, now I've got to Amazon that. Amazon's so good for everything. Amazon is looking to sponsor us.
Amazon was not so good for Netrunner. It took him like a week and a half to give me my packs.
Were you on the phone with Amazon like, Amazon, give me my packs?
I was.
Well, that was a good choice. All right. Ty, we're going to start with you with Under the Influence. We're going to give these to you three in a row. We're not going to pause in between. We're going to give you a card. You're going to have to tell us the influence value of the card. All okay. Right. For each correct answer, it'll be 2 points. There are no second chances.
All right.
All right. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Cortez Chip.
Two?
Correct. Chilo City Grid.
Three.
Two. Power Grid Overload.
One.
Correct.
Nicely done. Two out of three is pretty strong. So the three there, Cortez Chip, I don't see much of. Chilo, I don't see any of ever. And Power Grid Overload, it's about the same. I think ever since Power Shutdown came out, it just completely disappeared. I mean, do you guys see any of these moving into the meta at any time, or are they more shelf cards?
I think Cortez Chip is definitely a shelf card, unless, I mean, you'd have to expose it to really make it worth it, because you have to know why you want them to increase it by two. It's just not, and you can't just guess that.
I mean, you can make it prohibitive to get in. Go ahead, Tom, sorry.
I could see it as, you know, as an effective, if your goal is just to tax the corporation into oblivion, then it doesn't really matter what you're making them spend the two on as long as you spend the two. The problem is there are way more effective ways to do that.
Right.
If it was a card that just said the corp loses two, it would almost be good enough, and that's way better than Cortez Chip.
That's true. I mean, and what about Chilo City Grid? Does anyone, can someone tell me the text of Chilo City Grid right now? Just...
Of course I can. Whenever there's a trace initiated on the run on this server, if it's successful, the runner takes a tag.
There you go.
It doesn't say initiated, but if there's a successful trace.
Successful trace, yeah. Successful trace, they take a tag. So, I mean, it's possible. Once they get that Sentry Break out there, it does nothing. So, I mean, do you even try to play with this card? What's the res cost, Daniel?
It is 3, and its trash cost is 6, and I know this because I've tried to use it way too much. I think it works good with things like TMI or Bernice or Ash, where the traces are unavoidable, or that new Sentry that NBN's getting, where they have on-encounter traces that unavoidable.
Information overload.
Yes.
Those are the same sort of cards we need to make the new primary transmission disk good. Because you really, to make that card work, same way, you really don't want them to just break a subroutine with a trace on it.
Right? Oh, I ran on a primary submission, or transmission dish, and submission, yeah, right? Submit! Anyways, I ran on it, and I'm like, I'm not trashing that. And then I run on another server and hit a TMI, and he uses it. I'm like, no! so bad. So anyways, good job on that one, Ty. We're going to move on to our next set to Daniel. Daniel, are you ready to be under the influence?
What? Always.
Woodcutter.
That one's 3 because dumb.
Correct. Because if it was 2, it would be overpowered. Amazon Industrial Zone.
2?
1.
Oof. That's a bargain.
And Sunset.
I'll go with 2.
It's 1. You should splash for it.
Wow.
You should all splash for it.
Yeah, why aren't people using Amazon and Sunset? It's just easy splash.
Well, I could see a real use for Amazon. I mean, Amazon is not a bad card.
Amazon's going to be good with
Blue Sun.
Blue Sun.
Yeah.
The new Wayland, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the real problem is that you don't want to use it, obviously, for surprise ice, so things that are destroying programs or somehow disrupting the runner's game. But for analog ice, or binary ice, excuse me, you just poop it out, you're like, whatever.
You can also double activate Foundry with it. You know, you can throw out an ice, activate it on your turn, and then go digging for something else, play it out, so on and so forth.
It's only one influence, guys. I mean, it's free next ice, so long as you can pay the install cost. Uh-huh. Just rest. All right, I'm making fart noises with my mouth. We're going to move on. Dan.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go, Dan.
Peacock.
Well, I always try to splash Peacock in every deck.
it's because the art is pretty.
Yeah, but then I realized that Zoo is way better, and it's the same influence, too.
Correct. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you for giving your answer in story form.
You got to create a narrative, guys.
The next card is TMI.
TMI is a no splash, but it's one.
That's correct.
I played TMI plenty before. It was pretty good back in the day, I think.
Last card is Sensei.
Sensei. What is Sensei? Can I get like a what does it do?
actually
it
no.
Gets rezzed.
Oh wait, is Sensei one of those code gates that adds things?
It could be.
Alright.
It could also be a boat.
It's one.
It is one. Good job on the sweep.
Now what does it do?
I'm pretty sure it adds in the run to everything behind it.
Yeah, it adds an in the run subroutine to like
put that in HP. It was not that good.
4 or 5 or something.
Not that good.
I was gonna say, I think it's only, well, you said strength 4, I think it's strength 3, which is why it's not good.
No, it's res 3. It's res strength 5.
Res 3.
Yeah.
Strength 5. Yeah.
It's a good ratio, it just doesn't do much for you.
It's like an Inazuma that's way, way bad.
Yeah, 90% of the time it's just, oh, I have to pay one more money for each ice on the server.
Right.
And Dan, I don't disagree with you about TMI, okay? The problem I always had was, whenever I needed TMI, I would res it and do the trace, and then it would get shut down. I'm like, I just wasted so much money!
Oh, no, you can't waste the money on the trace, unless they're account siphoning you. You gotta just put the 4 in it, the free 4 for making news, and then if they come back, to do it again. The trick with TMI is you really have to like have drip economy or something going where you can actually keep up with the runner on money. If you're not keeping up with the runner on money, the card's no good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was the end of the preliminary rounds here before the lightning round. I want to get a view of the scores. Ross, tell me about it.
Ty is still in the lead with 17 points. Dan is in second place with 15. Daniel is in last place with 11 points.
I don't think I'm going to pull out of this one.
Still anybody's game.
I agree. I think everyone did a really good job. We're going to come back with the lightning round. Everyone, take a quick second at home, grab a drink, and get ready. We're going to be hit by lightning.
That's right. I got to get under the influence. Yeah. Blue jeans set on the beach. A dog's talking to me, but she's out of reach. She's got a body under that shirt. But all she wants to do is rub my face in the dirt.
Are you at home listening and thinking, man, I could do better than those guys? Why don't you come on and prove it? You can send an application email to waitwaitdrm@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook or at our website at waitwaitdrm.podomatic.com. We'd love to hear from you and just to give us a reason why you think that you could be a better contestant than the ones we have today. Thanks again for listening to Wait Wait Don't Run Me, and enjoy the rest of the show. Perfect face. Mm-hmm.
welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Run Me. I am Corwin Brindley, and with me, as always, Ross Prather. Ross, how you doing?
I'm still doing all right.
Still here, still breathing, ready for lightning. Also with us, Daniel DeBoer, Dan D'Arginio, and Ty Volpo. How is everyone ready for lightning? Let me hear a cheer.
Yeah.
That was a little loud. I think I might have to edit that out.
Wow. I put a lot of my heart into that.
Yeah, we don't allow heart on Wait, Wait, Don't Run Me. So, just a recap of the points. I'm going to run it down for you guys. In last place, Daniel DeBoer with 11 points. Dan, you got 15 points. And then Ty, you're winning with 17. So the way the lightning round works, we're going to give you 1 minute from the time that Ross finishes the first question to answer as many questions as you can. They're worth 1 point each. We're going to start with the person who's in last place. Daniel, you're going to be hit by lightning first.
Let's get it.
Are you ready?
I am ready for this.
All right. This NBN asset provides recurring credits for traces.
Primary transmission dish?
Net police. This Shaper virus is a shout out to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Chicana?
Deep thought. This Anarch resource shares a name with an Olivia Newton-John song.
Oh my god. Pass.
Xanadu. This Jinteki ice jumps the runner to another server.
Bullfrog.
Correct. Your ice count turns into brain damage when a runner hits this ambush.
Edge of World.
Correct. This Wayland upgrade allows you to res ice when you play it at a discount.
Amazon Industrial Zone.
Correct. This ice can destroy hardware with a trace.
Ice? Taurus?
Flare. According to this card's flavor text, you can ingest 3 cans of diesel an hour for up to 12 hours before going into cardiac arrest.
All-nighter.
Correct. Some restrictions may apply when you play this Corp ID.
The world is yours.
Correct. This connection resource is a different type of runner.
The lady in the red... woman in the red dress?
Katie Jones.
Oh.
This agenda reduces the cost of...
Sorry. That was it. That was a minute.
Yeah, but the last question was bad.
Well, then don't do it. What was it? Let's read it for fun.
It was the one that was Katie Jones.
Oh, she's a different type of runner.
No, she's not a runner.
Oh, my God. She's like a gun runner, right?
She hasn't come out yet.
What?
Katie Jones. No, Katie Jones.
What?
All right. We'll give you one, Daniel. We'll give you one, because Ross is here making faces at me.
Catch up to Dan.
No, you will. Well, you're right. Well, you won't catch up to Ty. You got Dan by 1 point right now. But if he can't get one right, that's his own fault. All right, so we'll give you one more just for funsies.
This agenda reduces the cost of resing ice when over advanced.
Interest.
Correct.
There you go. So 6 points in the lightning round. That'll bring you to 17 points.
Tied with Ty.
Ty will have to have a stroke right now.
Or get all the worst questions.
He could just answer a hedge fund to all of them.
Well, Daniel, good job. It's a great score for the lightning round. We're going to move on to the person in second place, Dan. Dan, are you ready?
I'm so ready for this. Let's go.
All right.
This detective Bioroid ice apparently doesn't like programs. Correct. Sherlock 1.0. An underused console with a brain-damaging downside.
Spinal Mode.
Correct. This neutral resource provides recurring credits for hardware.
Inside Man.
Correct. This NBN economic asset's trash cost is high enough to normally detour the runner. Correct. Use this sysop to swap ice from HQ and the server they're in. Correct. Drip econ for the runner that requires link.
Underworld contact.
Correct. This is an Anarch non-fix strength code gate breaker.
Force nature.
Correct. This icebreaker is slow and fragile, but you can make it evolve at the beginning of your turn.
Darwin.
Correct. You might visit this criminal resource for a favor.
Compromise employee.
Mr. Lee. Use this HB card to take cards from your hand and put them back into your deck.
Rework.
Correct. Jinteki players can advance this asset who will serve them for a time.
Ronin.
Correct. That's the end of time.
That is the end of 1 minute. It looks like you had 9 correct answers. 9. That is a whopping 24 points. 24 points. That means tie. In order to tie... I didn't mean to do that.
Sorry.
In order to tie, you'll need 7 points. In order to win, you will need 8 points. This is where lightning gets intense. So, Dan, that was really strong showing, 9 points. I think the most we had was from Liz from our last episode, like 12 or 13. We ran out of questions.
This must have been really shortly worded questions.
Well, you answered 3 incorrect. So you had 12 questions there. So, anyway.
3 incorrect. I didn't get it. I got Mr. Lee wrong.
Yeah, there were like ever 1 or 2.
Anyways, I can't count. We have already determined tie. This is for the win. You've been crushing this whole game. You got to pull it out. So 7 to tie, 8 to win.
Alrighty.
Hardware that increases the cost to res a single piece of ice when trashed.
Pass.
Cortez chip. A shaper resource that provides a link or increases a breaker's strength.
Pass.
Helpful AI. This Wayland ice can be advanced when res to do net damage.
Tyrant?
Woodcutter. A card that includes Art of Chaos Theory being spied on, giving her 2 more tags.
Pass.
Big Brother. Over advancing this agenda means more points.
Project Beal.
Correct. This Anarch milling resource is making a resurgence due to Stephen Woolley's success. Marshall. Correct. Peekaboo. This program is described as a girl's best friend.
Ben Fatale.
Snitch. And that is time.
Your 1 minute is up, and it looks like you have 2 correct answers. Leaving you at 19 points. That means that our winner, Dan D'Argenio. Dan, let's get a round of applause. The lightning round brought it in for you. Wow, good job to everybody today. I really had a great time triviaing with you. Any parting words, Daniel?
Parting words? Everyone should play this game. I don't know.
We're shipping it to Africa and they can play it too. Oh, it's only Ebola, guys, it's fine.
Right.
Ty, any parting words?
Yeah, 2. Sealed vault.
Sealed vault. You're prepared?
Oh yeah. Hey, it's the anti-account siphon.
I don't know, you're Wayland already. You just like whatever account siphon. Thanks for making a successful run. Die, Blizz. And then finally our winner, Dan D'Argenio. Dan, do you have any parting words for the world?
Yeah, just play Andromeda.
And again, you can read more from Dan, actually, at stimhack.com. Thanks again to Daniel and Ty for coming on the show. This is Wait, Don't Run Me. Everyone have a great night.